Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast. Hey, Liz.
Hey, Sarah.
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm a little anxious at the moment, but we just talked about it and it's not because of anything specific. Well, actually it is. I'll talk about it in my
What pit. Did I do?
I have a lot of questions. The first one is, how dare you?
I hear you. I mean, listen, January is almost over, but it, as you always say, is one of the toughest months.
Armpit. Well, yeah. I would say February is, but February is the shortest, so it's really not that bad. It goes like by like a flash, but then we're in March and we're approaching spring.
Yeah,
also the 1 year anniversary of the cocoa.
Oh my gosh, the cocoa. I was like, what is she talking about? I cannot believe we're almost at 1 year.
I know,
it makes me anxious to think about that.
It's true, but also I just want to say, like, even though I'm the person who just said this, like, we're not. Everyone for the past 4 weeks has been like, we're almost at a year. I'm like, really? Because it was in March and we're in January.
Right.
But I agree. Like, we're almost at a year.
No, but like, it's been about a year.
Yeah. No, when we, at this point, we had started hearing about it.
I'm scared. I don't like the fact that it's been a year. Like, it makes me anxious.
Why? What about it?
I don't know. This is something I need to figure out in therapy. But like, it makes me anxious that it's been a year. Maybe because I don't feel like I've done enough with my life. Mm. But like, no one has. Maybe because I feel like I haven't grown in my career. Maybe because I don't like that time is passing too quickly. Mm. Like, maybe because I can't believe that I'm still upset about things I was upset about a year ago. And then like, the fact that it's been a year since March reminds me that like, it's been a year. You know what I mean?
I do.
There's a lot to it. But
speaking of talking it out in therapy, just a friendly reminder that we work with BetterHelp. They're our sponsor. And we are big advocates for therapy over here at It's Fine, I'm Fine. We talk about it every episode. We talk about it with our guest today. Mm-hmm. And BetterHelp is an online counseling service. They are not a helpline. We've been working with them for a while. And it's just such a joy to be able to give people an actual resource where they can go to. We talk about that a little bit in our episode today. So if you are feeling the strain like we are, or you simply want to work on some of your mental health skills so that if things start to feel bad, you have those skills your back pocket. You can go to betterhelp.com/itsfine. That's betterhelp.com/itsfine for 10% off your first month of service.
I love BetterHelp.
Me too. I think I couldn't think of a better person or company to sponsor us.
I agree. I just want to say one quick thing. Actually, no, there's really nothing to say. I was just going to say how much I love therapy, but I think everyone is pretty aware of that.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Okay, so should we do a little peek and pity?
Should I start?
Oh, you know what is just an overall peek? It's not my peek, but like, we've started doing that every Friday with Chris or like whoever we're with, and it makes me so happy.
Same. And like, it makes me even happier when they bring it up.
When we say they,
we mean Chris.
Yeah,
when Chris goes, should we do peek and pit, Shabbat Shalom? Yeah. I'm like, you're one of us and I love it.
Me too.
I love it. It really means a lot to me too that we do that. Anyway, I can start. My pit, I think in general, it's been like a really, really, really busy couple of weeks at work.
Yeah.
Which honestly is a great thing. I mean, it's nice to be busy. It's nice to feel productive. But at the same time, like, there are, and I know I've spoken about this a million times, but I'm just like really feeling it a lot these last couple of weeks. Sometimes I don't have time to eat lunch. Like, I don't get up for hours on end. Suddenly it's 5:30. I'm like, where did the day go? And I personally really don't like feeling like I quote unquote wasted a day. Like, I know it's not a waste of a day because I was productive at work. But right. Like, when I wake up and then all of a sudden I look at the clock and it's like 9 p.m. and I'm still working and I like barely ate today. I barely took care of myself. Like, to me, that kind of feels like I didn't do much during the day.
Right.
And it just like doesn't make me feel great. So I think, and our guest today speaks about this a little bit in a different light, but it's still relevant to this. I think I need to like start setting some boundaries for myself. I mean, like, if there's work, there's work. But sometimes I need to just be like, by 2 p.m. I have to get up and pee.
Yeah.
Or by 3 p.m. I have to have had lunch,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. And there are things that you can do in advance to like maybe make it easier for you not to be that person. But like if you made a meal the night before, even if you had leftovers, like just knowing you can take one less step out of it. So it's like not as annoying to do. Or honestly, even if you got like a protein shake or something. I know that sounds weird, but like.
No. I mean, the days that I have meals prepared already are the best days.
Totally.
So I definitely need to do it. But then the days end late and making the meal at like 10 p.m. is just so exhausting.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I'm with you.
Anyway, my peak was that on Saturday. It was one of my closest friend's birthdays. She turned 27. And we had an
out. 27?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
You're young for your grade.
Yeah,
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like cannot believe that. I was like, Morgan, you're 27. She's like, oh my God.
I don't mean that in like an old way. It's just like, that's an adult. I know.
It's scary.
Scary.
But anyway, we had an outdoor meal. We braved it in 28 degree weather. Mm-hmm. And it was really special. Just like being together with a couple of our other friends in like a safe way. And the meal was really good. And it was just like a nice time to I know I've said it before. I love celebrating birthdays. Like I just love having something to celebrate for a close friend. But my own birthday is like so much pressure that I just way prefer other people's
birthdays. I totally know what you mean. Especially because like in COVID times, we need something to be excited about. And as we've talked about, like we talked about it on our hangover episode, we like drinking, but it's like it feels pathetic and potentially bad if we're like just drinking for nothing. And so when you have something to like grasp onto, it's just nice to celebrate.
Yeah. I had a hot cider. It was so good.
Oh yeah. You told me that with bourbon.
Yeah. It was really good.
Bourbon. Sounds lovely. I think my pit has been like I've just had a lot of, I would say, brain fog. And please do not be like, you have COVID, because I know that's a symptom of COVID. I don't have COVID. I mean, knock on wood, God forbid. But as far as I know, I don't. I think it's really just because I haven't been getting enough sleep. As Sarah's been experiencing, it's just been such a busy couple of weeks, and I really need to find a way to set boundaries for myself, as you said, and as Lex said, like just finding a way to carve out a routine. And that might involve like some forcing my phone to be like on another side of the room. And that's so hard because like I don't want to get to that place. Like I feel like A, it says something about me and my self-control, and B, it's like I like using my phone. Like, and and it's not good for me, but like it's just hard, and I'm being honest about that. I'm not one of those people who's like, well, I just like, we'll set this boundary and it'll work. Like, no. So it's just been, that's been hard to like, just, I feel like I'm like walking through chaos and I'm just like trying to see straight. I'm making it sound more dramatic than it is. I just mean like it's foggy. It's foggy in my brain. And then the peak, which I just had, rare, but like I have had such a good time watching The Bachelor. I have found that I have a love-hate relationship with The Bachelor, because sometimes I think it's just so stupid and I feel like the producers are taking advantage of me and my they think I'm not intelligent, but I am. at all the producers, Mike Fleiss, whoever. But it just has been like, I really love moments where everyone is watching the same thing. Everyone's like paying attention to the same thing, and it's so harmless. Like it's just been so divided and contentious. Is that the right word? Divided and like chaotic the past several months. And it's like, remember when we were younger, did your family watch American Idol?
Yes.
Oh my God. Everybody, I mean, it's not even the same with The Bachelor, but everybody watched American Idol, and like the things that people were fighting about were like, why is Sanjaya still on the show? Remember him?
I was just thinking that as you were saying it.
So I just have, it's been such a delight, even though I don't love everything about it. It's just like nice to all like bond over something. And I come to Sarah's every week, and it's just been a great ritual.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my dad watches it now. Like it's so funny. He'll text me about it. So I don't know. Love that camaraderie.
I also loved that one time that Chris watched with us.
And he was like, Chris is the classic dad. Like he comes in, he's like, this show is stupid. And then he stands in front of the TV and he's like, I think this is a wrong decision. Or like, what's with Victoria? Like all these things. And he's still like, he acts like he doesn't care, but he still talks to me about Matt. Like he's brought Matt up like several times this week. He sent me a Snapchat because apparently Matt was like on ESPN.
Wait, I saw that Snapchat too.
He probably sent it to you.
What did it say?
Oh, so
I could not decipher the words he wrote.
He wrote Young Bull on the top because he thinks Matt acts like a young bull. Like he's always acting
loving
like
bow.
No, young bull. It's like a Philly expression for like you're acting like a child. He thinks Matt's like childish, not childish, but like immature. And then he wrote dumb beard. Like I don't think Chris likes his beard, but. What I was gonna say, he just like still brings Matt up. Like he's like, what do these people think about like how Matt's doing? And I'm like, okay, so you like The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Like he'll say he doesn't like it, but the more you talk about it, I'm like, okay, you like it.
Men love to pretend they don't like that show.
I I like, I'm done with them and their toxic masculinity.
I'm done.
Like, just own it. speaking of The Bachelor and, you know, camaraderie, we have an amazing guest on our show today. The way that we connected with at Lex Nico, who is our guest, was just such a fun, like, turn of fate. She actually reached out to us almost a year ago and it just didn't work out because of COVID. Like, she was going to come to New York and record with us. And then I was just sitting with Sarah one night and I was like, you have to follow this girl. She's amazing. Best pop culture. Like, she even talks about mental health. And we looked and we were like, oh my God, we DM'd her. And
I was like, I know that. I
know her.
I was like, I know that name. And you were like, oh, you probably follow
her.
No,
I literally was like, Sarah, you're imagining things.
Yeah. And I was like, Liz, we've spoken to her. And you were like, no, we haven't. And I was like, go look.
She's just has grown so much on social media. And she's just like one of those really fun follows who keeps you informed about all the things you pretend you don't care about. Like, who's Maluma's girlfriend and like the Kardashians and like just all the things. Like, she is the person to go to if you're confused about Olivia Rodrigo and or Jay Cutler or whatever. Which, by the way, can we just like, I don't care. Like, you know, the Jay Cutler
thing? How many times am I going to see that same picture everywhere?
I think it's also like, I am especially biased because I was like a little bit past The Hills. Like, that was a little bit before my time.
I have never watched The Hills.
I don't care. I don't like Kristen Cavallari. I don't know why. She just rubs me the wrong way. I don't care about them. Like, I can't explain it enough.
No, Liz, I've never watched Very Cavallari, whatever that show was called.
That you got
I it. Never watched The Hills. I don't even know who these people are. Like, I know. I'm too busy caring about, I don't know, Olivia and also like Joe Jonas reposting Olivia. Like, I'm too busy. And I see that same picture of them. I don't even know who they are, but there's the blonde and then the guy. And I see the same picture of them everywhere I look. And I'm like, are they together? Are they not together? I don't care.
I don't care. And I think I will say whatever I have seen of them, I have not liked. And I think that's why I don't care. Like, Chris unfortunately likes Very Cavallari. Like, he doesn't go out of his way to watch it, but like The Bachelor, when it's on, he doesn't complain.
Right.
And I find them both just like really insufferable. And I don't have a problem saying that because they're never going to hear this. And I, you know, I'm an advocate for not bullying people, but also like, I can't stand them.
I know. We like blow up. They hear us.
I know. They're like, who are these girls?
We get into like Twitter beef with them.
Anyway, that was such a roundabout way of, that was totally the vibe of the episode we do with Lex, because she talks a lot about mental health and pop culture and her job. She's just like a really awesome,
She's
such a 21st century gal. You know what I mean?
She is so cool. Like, we really had so much fun talking to her.
Yeah.
We finished the podcast recording. We were beaming. Like, she's just so fun and so cool and also so real.
Yeah.
She so really hard was. To find a quote unquote influencer that's real.
Yeah. And I think it might sound like, because sometimes I'm like, do we sound like we're blowing smoke up our guests' asses? But then I'm like, you don't understand. Like,
you
when
don't
you hear
it.
This episode, like, she's just a delight.
Anyway, it's a great episode. And if you find yourself loving pop culture and also loving mental health, go ahead and give her a follow. I'm just going to say it right now. Lex Nico. She'll plug herself, but it's worth the follow.
Very worth it. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
It's this cycle or like chain of events is so funny because I think when you originally DM'd our podcast account in February of last year, like almost a year ago, Sarah answered, or I answered and like, I didn't know who you were. So we answered being like, yeah, we'll work something out. We can definitely talk to you. And then of course, COVID.
I was supposed to come to New York.
Yes, exactly. And then literally like 2 weeks ago, I was sitting here and we had just recorded another episode. And we were talking about something and I was like, you have to follow this girl. She's so funny. Like, I love all of her pop culture commentary. She does the best. Like, you do such a good job just like giving me all the information that I want.
And the roundup.
Like, yeah. And Sarah was like, oh.
You were like, you have to follow Lex Nico. Is that how you say it? Lex Nico?
Lex Nico. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, you have to follow her. Like, she's so cool. She's so great. You're going to love her. And I was like, I know that name.
Yeah.
And she's like,
you're like, oh, wait a minute.
She was like, oh, like you follow her too? I was like, no, we've spoken to her.
And I didn't believe her. I was like, there's no way.
Yeah, she's like, you're wrong. You're confusing her with someone else. Like, this girl's like too cool.
I know, literally.
No.
Such a crazy like coincidence. Okay, so can you tell us a bit about like who you are, what your job is, what you curated on Instagram? Like, give me the big picture.
So I'm Lex, and by day, I'm the creator inclusion lead at Pinterest. What that really means is I'm ensuring that we have representation across our whole platform. And how we really do that is by working with creators from every single community that we can possibly think of. So we want to make sure that we are working with people who identify as members of underrepresented communities. They may sexually identify in a way that we don't define as, you know, the normal by our cultural standards. But really, we want Pinterest to be a place for everybody. And I love that because that's like the work that I get to do every single day is work with those creators, discover those creators, and bring them onto the platform and like amplify their content. So it's kind of the best job ever. And then by night, weirdly, like we were just saying, I have a million jobs. I would say I'm a fellow podcast host. I have a podcast that's a pop culture and current events podcast called One Last Thing. But also I'm a content creator and I just try to be a funny person on the internet. I like making funny content, talking about pop culture and making people laugh. That's me.
That's awesome. We love that. And we need more of
that. Wait, so how long have you been on Pinterest?
Almost a year and a half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. And so
yeah.
Are you doing social media like before or was, I feel like a lot of the big growth was in 2020. Is that right?
Oh yeah. I feel like ironically enough, the pandemic and everyone being at home sort of like boosted my vibe and boosted my audience. But no, this goes back like a long time. Like I had a blog back in the day because I worked in finance and I liked having a creative outlet, and it's super full circle because I like described my blog back in the day as like Pinterest before it was Pinterest. I would have, you know, recipes from Martha Stewart or design and interiors from Architectural Digest. And I would just write about them to have a creative outlet. And then Instagram happened and I was like, okay, I don't want to be a fashion blogger that's like posting outfits. That's not who I am. Mm-hmm. And then weirdly, I started just like when stories came talking about TV and people started asking me to have they wanted to have conversations about what we were watching. And I was like, I like doing this. Mm-hmm. So it sort of shifted into that evolution through stories. And now I'm here.
That's awesome.
I had a follow-up question. Like, I think, how do you make it so that like your life feels like has any balance at all?
I was going to say the same thing. Like, you work a full-time job, but then running a social media account that like a lot of people follow we have legitimately 2,000 followers. And I'm like, I can't handle, like, it's so much.
It's like it's step outside, like they're looking for us.
I know, you're like, no photos, don't talk to me.
It's so stressful. No, I have to email like that person and this person. But like, I just can't imagine just doing both. Like, how do you balance that?
And you post so much. So anyway, go ahead.
Yes. I mean, I really would say that I am lucky in the sense that I've curated my life so that the work that I do on social media really blends with the work that I do in my day job and professional career. So I feel like I'm super fortunate in that sense where it's super organic and natural to have them overlap and intersect. But really, like, I am the exact same person that I am online as if I was like hanging out with my sister or my best friend. So it doesn't feel hard. You know, if I want to come on and talk about, is Maluma having a baby or is he not? Like, what is he doing? That's like something I would text the group chat. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't feel forced and it doesn't feel like work. And also I will say, like, the comparison to like the fashion bloggers or the content creators in that capacity, like, nothing is perfect or cookie cutter or curated. Like, you're seeing me with no makeup. I'm sitting at my desk. I'm filming a reaction video to something that's happening. Like, this is not an aesthetic. It's just my life and who I am. And I genuinely feel like that gives me an edge. Definitely. And like makes it easier.
I think people can really sense it too. Like, I think probably one of the reasons that you've grown so much is that in 2020, especially, people were really tired of seeing influencers or whoever online that they couldn't relate to at all. And seeing someone mm-hmm. like you who is talking about all the things that people want to hear about, I'm sure was like completely what drew people to you. And also mm-hmm. like,
it's so nice.
I mean, it. And I think also the other thing about 2020 was celebrity became like so weird because there was so, mm-hmm. so much resentment against celebrity because we're all like, well, you don't have anything to worry about. You're in your cushy homes. But at the same time, we all had nothing to do. So we were like, we need to
correct
all of this. Mm-hmm. And I think you did a really good job like balancing those two things. But I do have to know, because you talk about like putting yourself out there and it's not a lot of curation. Have you come up against like trolls or negativity? Mm-hmm. And how do you deal with that?
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, what's been really interesting is the second that you have an opinion and share that publicly, you open the floodgates to people having an opinion back, right? So while I would say the majority of people who follow me or the people that interact with my content are positive and they enjoy it and take it for what it is, you're always going to get a few of those people that just, you know, react poorly or are upset by things that you say or do. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I really try to do while like being funny is I never try to come from a place that's like salacious or malicious to get, you know, likes or comments. I don't want that type of audience. I don't want that in my community to begin with. And that's not who I am as a person. So I really try to come from an empathetic place while, you know, you want to be funny as well. But it's really just, if there are the trolls and the people that are there, I try to constantly remind myself to just take it for what it is and know that I'm opening myself up to that reaction by putting myself out there. And for me, it's really like if people want to have a dialogue, I'm more than happy to have a dialogue. If you're coming here to be mean, you're blocked. You're done. Yeah. Goodbye. Yeah. Like, I don't have time for that. But if you want to have a dialogue, if we can both learn and take something from this interaction, I'm more than happy to put in that time and effort. Mm-hmm. But people have to come from the same place on the other side.
Definitely.
And like 9 out of 10 times, they're not. So you both also have amazing hair. I know this is a sidebar, but like, what's happening?
Wait,
you look so good.
Oh, amazing. I thought you said people have amazing hair.
No, you do.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you so much.
That is lovely.
It's like beautiful and luscious and shiny.
Oh, so much.
I had to call it out because I would be thinking about it the whole time.
Oh, thank you. I've been taking Nutrafol, but only for like 2 weeks. So I don't think it affects like the ends of my hair much, but I have to say this is not natural.
I have sweat in my hair. You know what's so funny though about what we were just saying? My friend started a like New York City, like things to do in New York City page.
Oh, yeah.
She legitimately started this 2 weeks ago and people are in her DMs passionately like, how could you forget this one coffee? Mm-hmm. And like, they're mad. And it's like, it really makes you think that people are just angry and they just need an outlet for it.
They do.
You know, and it's just so funny. Like, I can imagine that you must have an opinion on pop culture and then people are like so mad at you for your opinions. But I mean, I think it's great that you don't, or you, at least you said that you don't try and like take it personally because and you know that you're putting yourself out there and be like, they're not talking about you, which must be helpful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also just, you know, I want to kind of like hone in on that point you made. People are so angry. Even when I share those roundups in my Instagram stories and it's like, I'm just posting something to share that piece of information. I'm not even giving an opinion on it. Mm-hmm. I can't even tell you the amount of DMs that I get sometimes where people just like are so quick to attack, even if that wasn't the intention or purpose of my post. Like, mm-hmm. they'll be like, disgusting, hate that person. But, and it's totally fine. And that's fair. And that's your journey. But it's like, I don't want that energy in my life.
Right.
I can't handle that. It's like, you're getting a double tap on your comment, but like, I'm not engaging in the conversation.
Yeah.
But it can be really hard. And I will say, like, with the DMs and with people, like with my audience growing and more people responding, I have had to disengage a little bit to protect my own space and my own mental energy, just because it can be really toxic, even just reading those responses over and over again. And it's about nothing. It's not even about something I said.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just about a picture.
I was going to
say, I don't know why people are angry.
Yeah, people need outlets, which is why if you go to betterhelp.com.
No, people need like people to talk to their moms and their psychiatrists and not like people that you don't know on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Therapy every Monday. And I simply don't know what I would do about it. But I think it's a really great lead in into mental health.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yes. I was going to ask because you had originally contacted us saying that, you know, we had asked at some point last year, like, we want to talk to content creators who are interested in mental health, or who already talk mm-hmm. about it. And you messaged us. And I want to know sort of, obviously, you may have been doing something different a year ago, but like, what's your interest in mental health in terms of like, not right now, like you right now, but how did you get into that space at all?
Right.
Why do you care about it?
Sure. I mean, so this really started in terms of like speaking out publicly and being more of an advocate for mental health in a public forum. I would say probably like 5 years ago, about maybe more, where I was like I was in a job that was an amazing job. My life was, you know, no complaints. Everything was great. And on paper, I should have been seemingly happy, but I was finding I was really struggling and almost like feeling like I was constantly drowning or being smothered. Like there was always this tightness in my chest, like in terms of like a physical response. And then, you know, getting out of bed was hard. Going to work, I was always anxious. Like taking a shower, like something that's so simple and small was so difficult and like heavy. And in my mind, I was like, okay, on paper, everything is like Gucci. Like you should be good. But like you're so not happy. There's something wrong here. So I went to my doctor. We started talking about, you know, understanding depression and what that could look like. And I actually went on antidepressants because there was just like, I was just super off. And that really helped me feel better. At the same time that this was happening, I realized that I also was starting to get what I now know were panic attacks, where if I had something like a presentation or, you know, I got like a really big phone bill, like not anything that would warrant this response, but I was having this response where I would get these panic attacks and I'd be calling my mom feeling like I'm going to vomit and like, I don't know what to do. So in tandem with like realizing what was happening with the depression, I started going to cognitive behavioral therapy, figuring out how to work through new habits when I started feeling those emotions and the things that would trigger it and building new habits that way. And when I realized that was happening to me, I was still blogging, still writing, and I felt like I was hiding a part of who I was by not talking about it. Mm-hmm. So I wrote this like one big post that I was just like, I ended up moving out of my apartment. I moved back into my parents' house for 3 months. I like left my job and I was like, this is why I'm doing this, because I'm dealing with something and I have the luxury to literally put my life on pause right now, but I want to be transparent about why I'm doing that. Wow. And it's evolved from there. That's the really long story, but that background is really what started it all. And from that moment, I am like, I will talk about it with anybody that wants to talk about it. So I love what the two of you are doing. And I love this podcast and that you have a space and a forum to have these conversations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you want to go? Thank you. You sound like Stormy. Thank you.
No, thank you. Stormy. No, but my question, okay, so if I'm following that correctly, around 5 years ago, you were working at a job that was seemingly great and you sort of picked up on this depression.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, how soon after that did you kind of take a pause? And then like, walk me through the timeline from then until now, as much as you want.
Of course. Yeah. So, I mean, I realized that happened. And then within, I would say 4 months, I was like, you know what? I need to kind of collect myself. I moved out of my place. I came back to my parents. I left my job shortly after that. And I honestly just like was like, I'm not working. I'm doing the blog stuff and I'm monetizing my social media so I can, you know, do that for a bit. And I just took a pause in my life. I traveled, which I had never done. I should give, like, there's so much like backstory to this in the sense of like, I did my undergrad, I did my MBA, like I didn't take any breaks and then I started working. And so like, I had never had a break in my life. That's just who I am. Like I'm a Virgo, I'm a type A. Mm-hmm. Taking breaks give me anxiety as well. Yeah. But I learned to deal with that because it's important that we do that. And so really from that point on, I've started managing and understanding what I was going through, writing and working through that process. And it was very cathartic sharing it publicly. Mm-hmm. Because it really helped me also. I realized that's like a way that I process is really by writing things down and like seeing it in front of me. And it almost releases the weight and the heaviness of it for me. Mm-hmm. In, you know, what's the word I'm trying to look for? Anyway, in a sort of way, it like releases it for me. Mm-hmm. But from that point on, I started talking about how I was feeling, especially when I wasn't feeling great, an important part of the conversation I was having online. So, you know, you might see days on social media, like we spoke briefly about the TikTok where it's like, I'm having a really bad day. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm sharing this because it's important to me to share this so that people know that they're not alone. Like so much of my space is about sharing those resources and talking about ways that you can get help that are free or coping mechanisms like writing things out or the tools that have worked for me. And then, you know, every single year I do work here in Canada with Bell Let's Talk Day, which is actually tomorrow. Yeah. And so it's like a mental health initiative day and I work with them to have the conversation and just be able to tell people on a public space that it's okay if you're not feeling okay. And I would probably say that it's from a social media perspective, like it's not something I talk about every single day, but it's something that I talk about week to week, like on the podcast at the beginning off the top. I'm always like, how are you? Are you checking in? Reminding people to ask each other if they're okay. And that's just evolved into a part of the conversation within my community. Like I have people come to me if they're having a bad day. If I go on other podcasts, we're not just talking about pop culture. We're talking about mental health. Like, it's, again, I'm a very transparent person and it's a part of who I am that it almost feels natural to talk about it throughout everything that I'm doing because it's weaved into who I am.
Yeah. I think that we both can relate to that a lot. Like,
totally.
It's hard for us to have conversations without mental health coming up in some way, you know? 100%. And I think that's probably why like people love you on social media because especially in 2020, it's like everyone was really looking for an outlet, as we were saying. I think people just felt so isolated and alone. And I really think that talking about how you feel is such a recent thing. One of the questions I had earlier, which still applies now, is what was the reaction from like your family, friends, when you started talking about it? I know personally for me, like I come from, my parents are both immigrants. When I first started talking about mental health, they were like, what is this?
Right. Yeah.
So what was it like for you? And also, yeah. Like what was the reaction at the beginning?
No, I think that's so, it's so funny that you say that as well, because that's like in going over some mental notes, I was like, it was actually the most difficult to talk about with my parents, not because they were not receptive, but because they're also both immigrants. They're from a different time and a different culture. And it's not commonplace to talk about how you feel at all. Mm-hmm. So it's not that they weren't open to the conversation. It's that they genuinely didn't know how to do it and needed to first understand why it was important before they could actually, you know, partake in it. So that was probably the hardest in the sense that it wasn't normal for them. And I feel really lucky that, you know, they were at least comfortable and receptive to being open about it and having those conversations and learning more. Mm-hmm. But that definitely took time, especially, you know, we talked about therapy and like being like, I need to see a therapist or I'm going on medication. That was like very taboo, mm-hmm. like very why, you know, like not even like, what's wrong? Like, do this, do that. Like, why you don't need that, you know? But I did and I do. And now it's all good. In terms of like my, again, sharing things publicly has been really wonderful for me on a personal level, but also it's expanded my community to people who are also struggling and they feel like we have a safe community online to talk, which I'm so grateful for. And then my friends, I think, you know, in our own sense and in everybody's own capacity, they've dealt with trauma. They've dealt with things like their eating disorders and their own mental health struggles. And to the point of talking about this publicly and being so open, it allows a space for other people to feel open and then maybe be like, oh, I've never actually thought about this, but maybe I do deal with some of these issues or I do have some of these emotional traumas that I haven't processed. Mm-hmm. And so friends have always been super open and I'm really grateful for that support system and they're super empathetic, but the parents was odd.
Yeah.
Just because they're so not used to it.
Yeah. Literally say like everything you just said, I was just like same. My friends were so like, what's the word?
Receptive.
Thank you. Yeah. My friends were so receptive. And my parents, like, just as you said, they wanted to help, but they just had no idea how. And they like,
totally.
My mom did so many hours of like research on what anxiety is on her own. Cause she was just like, I don't understand my daughter. Like I brought up medication and she's like, you know, but I'm like, I need it.
I know. Awesome. They're like, can't you just like go for a run or, you know, have a glass of wine? I'm like, this is not the vibe.
Yeah. And it's so important that we're having these conversations because hopefully like the next generations, you know, it's not like something you have to tiptoe around. It's kind of just like, hey, I'm
100%.
And your parents who like, hopefully will be me one day, will be like telling my kids, oh, here's like resources for this. Right. Totally understand you.
Yes.
Safe, open space.
Right. It'll be like, even from the very beginning of noticing you might have a kid who like might have anxiety, like from that perspective, you can even get ahead of it. But now it's like, we're finally at the phase where I think our parents are more like starting to understand it. Whereas I know my parents were like, this isn't even like, my mom, we actually just had my mom on the podcast. She has like a really, she has a really like, you know, traumatic like life story, and mm-hmm. her brother committed suicide, and like her like their parents have no, like had no sense of it. Didn't even like really, they couldn't cope with it for so many reasons, but it was also like, we don't know what this is. Whereas right. mom, because she had that exposure and that experience, she's also not an immigrant. So she might have like, there's a cultural difference. My household was way different. Like we talked about mental health so much that now to me, it feels like it's so normal, but I know that it right. isn't. And that's one of the questions I had for you was like, I appreciate how you are open about how you're feeling, but I'm curious how you feel about like, when you see other creators doing that, I sometimes honestly like cringe. I'm embarrassed to say, because I sometimes want to do that. I want to be like, look, here I am crying. Like I don't have it all together, but I mm-hmm. don't want people to think I'm posting that because I want them to pity me, or I want them to like, you know, like think I'm not.
Yeah. Like, you're doing it for likes, you yeah. know, like you're trying to do it for the engagement.
Right. So I want to know, how do you find yourself balancing between like, I'm open, but also knowing like, I want to stay true to like what I'm actually feeling and not communicate this so that I'm getting followers or something.
Completely. You know, I think that's like one of the things that I struggle with content creators and mental health, is just, you know, I don't want people, there's already such a stigma with it and having the conversation around it, that you don't want to almost add insult to injury by having people try to take advantage of everyone being so open about it and using it for self-gain, right? But for me, I try to respect anybody that wants to talk about it or doesn't. I always come from a place of, if they're talking about it, it's real. I take you seriously. Yeah. Of course, to your point, there's certain times where you're just like, oh my gosh, like, what are they? Like, no, stop.
Right.
And I feel that, you know, I actually don't feel that with myself sometimes, because I don't think I'm like trying to constantly shove it down people's throats. But I just feel that there's a time and a place for it. And I don't know. I genuinely feel like if it's authentic and if you're transparent, it comes off as such. But if it's not, it starts to show through the cracks. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, one thing I do and one thing that I find good content creators do is go above and beyond talking about themselves. Like I share about myself to not take away from anybody else's experience mm-hmm. and only speak to what I know and how I feel. But then I try to go above and beyond by saying, you know, this is what I do when I'm feeling this way. These are resources I find helpful. Like I'm trying to make that moment or that piece of content actionable so mm-hmm. somebody can either, you know, feel open to share back with me. And if they're not comfortable with that, at least have resources that they can go and feel supported in their own time. And I think that care comes through for certain content creators. And then there are the ones that are just like, I'm stressed, I'm having a bad day, da da da, and I don't want to take away from their experience. But there's only so many times where you can speak to that when it's like, well, tell us more and what you're doing about it, or help me, or else this becomes a one-way conversation and there's no value there for your audience.
Wow. Yeah.
That's, I think really that's smart. A really
great way of putting it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there's like I've never thought about it that way. Like I've never mm-hmm. actually laid that out in my brain, but once you say it, like there is such a clear difference between people who are like, I'm feeling this way and here's what I'm doing about it and here's what you could do about it, versus people who are always kind of just like,
I'm so anxious. Like, does anyone feel me? Kind of thing.
Right.
Even that, like, I feel like I relate to that even more than people who are just like, I don't know. I actually don't.
Me, like crying in their car being like, life is so hard.
Right. Which I understand. Like I get that social media is an outlet, but like, I just think it's so, as you said, so much more meaningful when you're making it a conversation. Definitely. Versus just like
right.
people listening to one
thing. And I think that there's just a point, like, and again, I think both of you are also probably feeling the same way I am, in that it's like, you can have an opinion, but you don't want to necessarily judge people if they aren't comfortable sharing resources. Like you don't want to judge them. Right. I just feel the same way that I'm saying, as a content creator who's putting an opinion out in a public forum, I'm opening myself to be receptive to people's opinions back. Like if you have a platform, if that's your job, if that's what you're doing, and you start to see or feel that like you're sharing this, but you're not really giving anything back, in that conversation, mm-hmm. then it's a one-way conversation and you're not really doing your job, to be honest. Like, mm-hmm. and I'm being very blunt now, but it's like a part of your job. Like, you wouldn't post an outfit and not give your followers your affiliate link. Right. So, it's, you know,
that's a great analogy. It's sort of like, if you're going to talk about how you've been feeling anxious, like, as opposed to just saying that to try and make yourself seem more likable, you want to provide resources for the followers, or at least say, like, at the very minimum, does anyone else feel this way? Like, I want to know that you all feel like you're not alone.
Totally.
I really respect that with the growth of your following, you're using that as a way to build like community and connect with your followers, as opposed to just like the number. You know what I mean?
Because
people probably get really lost in just like, how many followers can I get? Like, how high can the number get? And not look at them as people, but I feel like you're really looking at them as people and humans, which is just like special and unique.
Yes. So
it's really awesome.
I love them. The Hang Gang. They're the best. I just love hanging out. It's like really nothing else to it.
And not that it's like about the numbers at all. I mean, it is sort of, but it's like the more, when you build community and that's your goal, you see numbers come too, because people, especially like right now, want to be a part of something. Mm-hmm. But I am curious, we had sort of shifted gears a little, but I want to go back, because you had talked about, you know, your mental health journey and where it started. And you did say you feel so lucky because like your job and your social media are very conducive with each other. But what do you do to, like, when it sort of feels out of control, or when you feel like you can't put your phone down, you have a lot of DMs, a lot of things coming at you, like, it's hard when your phone is your job. So
Oh my gosh, yes.
I just want to know, like, how do you balance? How do you, like, actually take care of your mental health right now?
Okay. So this is such a great question, and thank you for asking it, because it is so difficult when your phone is your job, and also we're all working in this digital virtual era that it's like every call is on your computer or your Slack is on your phone, et cetera. It is really hard to kind of sign off and disengage. I have a passion for boundaries. Mm-hmm. And anytime I start to feel those, you know, triggered emotions, or that sort of like chemical reaction of the anxiousness building up in my chest, that tightness, like, I just have to take a break. And I have other influencers that follow me that will write me sometimes and just be like, you're so funny. It's like, you're always like, I'm so sorry I didn't follow up. It's like you're writing an out of office email. But I'm like, it is a community and I want to be able to talk to everybody, but I'm trying more now, especially as the following grows, to set those boundaries. So, you know, implementing things like, I do more Q&As, like I try to do them weekly so that people can ask me the questions that they have if I can't respond to the DMs as quickly as I used to. I try to block off like a Friday or Saturday, a couple hours, to try and respond to everything as much as possible. Doing things like that to kind of like time block and make it almost more scheduled is helpful for me personally, to be able to like process that balance. And then I'm like, okay, you know what? I do it for an hour. If I don't get through it, it's not the end of the world, but like, I've done something cool. And then I put it away and I move on. The other thing that I would say is, like, my therapist last year said this one thing to me, and like, I will never forget it. And now I say it in every interviewer conversation around mental health that I have. She said, like, in thinking about boundaries, depending on who you have like the relationship with, she said, you can bend over backwards for people, but you should never break your back for them. Oh. And like, when she said that to me, it was this like aha moment, and it clicked, because I am a strong people pleaser. Like, we've determined that. And so I do give a lot of my energy and I do put myself out there as a source and a resource for people, whether it's like my audience online or my friends or personal relationships. But that really resonated with me. And it's something I always come back to. If it's like, am I doing too much? Like, I can pull away here and nobody's going to, you know, not like me.
Right.
It's been like a great sort of compass to guide me, is that saying.
I feel like I struggle with that a lot. I'm just kind of taking
it hard
because I relate to what you're saying.
We both do. Yeah. I mean, we both just had an experience like recently where we were like trying to work with someone and it just didn't come to fruition, and we were like really internally struggling because we are such people pleasers and we just like want everyone to like us, not because like I mean, I can only really speak for myself this way, but it's not because I'm like, I want to be a benevolent person, even though I do. Like, so much of it comes from selfish reasons. And sometimes I have to be like, I need to actually be selfish here and like do what's right for me instead of just trying to please you. Because at the end of the day, like, you know, I can only do so much. So it's really refreshing to hear that you have these boundaries that you've set, because I'm the type of person that I know that I should have those boundaries, but I'm still working on like implementing them, because we were just talking about like, I can't put my phone down. And it's not because I'm like, there's so much good things on here and I need to see all of them. It's because it's like a crutch. Like I need to be looking at something. Otherwise, like the world is too scary for me to think about.
Absolutely. It's a distraction.
Yes.
That's like what it is. And that's the beauty and also the tragedy about it is that, you know, it is this community at your fingertips, you know, for me at least, but it also means that it's so much of my time and energy being poured into something when I'm not actually taking time to sit with myself and, you know, be with myself. But it's, I will say this is truly something that's just happened to me in the last year, when from the time that my therapist said that to me back in February of last year till now, I'm like just starting to get it in the last few months. So it's something that you have to build a new habit, and I'll break it a million times, but you have to just continue to try and commit to building it. But I totally echo you both. And I know it's so weird how being a people pleaser doesn't actually come from like needing people to like you. It's like internally how you struggle with thinking about yourself.
Yeah, it's so true. Like, I think when we were – sorry, did I interrupt you?
No.
I got nervous.
See? We're all doing it.
So no, you know, it's actually funny because, I mean, that's spot on. Like, it's not that if someone says to me, like, why do you feel like you need everyone to like you? I'm not like, I don't need everyone to like me. You know what I mean? I'd be like, I don't need everyone to like me. But the thought – for me personally, the thought of someone not liking me means like I did something wrong, and it makes me spiral about like who I am.
Right.
And it just, I question everything about myself. And it's like, sometimes people just aren't, it doesn't mean one person did something wrong. It doesn't mean like one's a bad person and one's a good person. It just means like not everyone clicks, not everyone's meant to be friends or coworkers, or whatever it is. And I just like can't get that through my head.
Yeah.
And I have to be like, this isn't a personal thing. Like, I just need to understand that.
It's so bizarre, because what is it with us where it's just like, why don't you like me? Like, why can't we get along? I'm wonderful. I'm a delight.
Right. Like, and like, I think that the second that I start to push back on someone, like not even in a mean way, just assert myself in any small way, shape or form, I have this huge sense of guilt. Like, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have like stood up for myself. I should have just let them walk all over me. And it's kind of like, I don't know. I need to start setting boundaries for myself. And this is what makes us good partners, like doing this podcast, because even though it's not our full-time jobs, it's like we do encounter these situations where, you know, both of us like feel anxiety at the same time.
Yeah.
But I feel like we will hold each other accountable and kind of just be like, for example, like the situation that we just had, like Liz was the one who was kind of like, it's okay. Like, she was like supporting me and just being like, it's okay. Like, not everyone hates you now. Like,
we're
bad people. We just asserted ourselves in a kind way. And that was it. It's just tough.
And you have each other there to kind of like talk each other down from that feeling, right?
Yeah.
Which is so valuable. Oh my gosh. It's really so good.
I think it's also not uniquely, but it's probably more female than it is like I think that we feel guilty for asserting ourselves, or feel, even when it's with other women, it's not just with men, like we'll be having these conversations and we just find ourselves being like, just like you said, breaking our backs to apologize. And so it's kind of a lame segue, but I think that's why I'm appreciative for what you're doing, because I find you to be like one of those presences on the internet that's like loud but not obnoxious. And I think that's a hard balance to have, especially as a girl.
Hey.
I am a girl, and even I have those like internalized misogyny, being like, well, if this girl is like on the internet and she's being so loud and complaining all the time, I even said it on the episode. I was like, I don't want to hear you complain. Like it's hard. And I think that that's a unique mental health challenge for everyone. But I think, you know, as to women speaking about it, there are certain things that like we experience that other people might not, you know?
Oh my gosh. Yes. And I learned I think just, you know, having that blend of being online with social media, but also always working in like a corporate setting. Like I worked in finance at a really big bank in Canada, and then I worked at Google and Amazon and like now at Pinterest. And like, I really realized, especially as a woman, and that's a whole other podcast, but I realized very quickly that you can be assertive without being aggressive. Men will naturally lean towards aggression because they can get away with it. Mm-hmm. But as women, we have to be assertive without being aggressive, unfortunately, mm-hmm. at least like in my experience in the corporate world. And there is this like fine line that you have to navigate. But also it's like really important that you try to figure that out in your work settings, especially. And stop apologizing for it.
Yeah.
You just have to shut down the apology, which has also been really hard for me, but something I've got a lot better at in the last 2 years. But the second you start apologizing, you're taking fault and ownership for blame. And I would guarantee you 95% of the time, there was no need for you to apologize.
Yeah. Definitely.
I worked really hard, I feel like, in the last year or two. Just every time I type out sorry and I don't mean to say sorry, I like backspace and I'm like,
yes,
don't say that. Don't even go there, because you're right. It really opens up like the doors. And I mean, I don't know, like if you're ever receiving DMs or at the beginning when you first started receiving like trolls in your DMs, like were you finding yourself apologizing to people, or were you right off the bat just like, no, I shouldn't say sorry to these people?
I would say probably in like the early days, I would apologize. And then I realized very quickly that there is a way to shift that conversation because, you know, as we established, people are angry. Their initial instinct is to be pissed off. They want you to either be angry back so they can fight with you, or they want you to apologize so that they can feel bigger and continue to be rude to you. Mm-hmm. And that is almost how the evolution of me like engaging in dialogue and conversation started, where it's sort of, you know, that exchange from, thank you for sharing. I hear what you're saying. You know, if you have facts or if you want to send me links on this, it really, you know, a lot in the last year with politics and sharing that type of content has really come up.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm happy to see your side. I just want you to show me like the like where that's coming from.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want you to put some data or some sort of like fact or evidence behind that. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, put on my Legally Blonde cap and I'm like, that's how I'm going to approach this conversation. Because I noticed very quickly when you ask people who are stating an opinion to provide fact, because they're stating an opinion as fact, it really shuts them up very quickly, which is nice. But I also, this earlier this week with JoJo Siwa coming out, I saw in like comments by celebs, somebody was like, I'm not letting my daughter watch you anymore, blah, blah. And she just commented, okay, with the exclamation point. And I was like, this is now my answer for everything. I'm obsessed with this. Yeah. And it works so well. Yeah. I've already started using it.
We actually like shared that over DM and we were just like, she just handled this like a queen, because like,
I know,
she's so young. And you know what's so funny? Just this is like kind of a side note, but she posted that video of her and she, did you watch her live? She was talking about how happy she was. And I was like, man, how does she, I was like, how does she stay so happy? Because I just like didn't know.
Yeah.
But she is just like kind of, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know her personally, but she just seems wise beyond her years.
Truly.
Like, to respond with just okay is, it's so simple, but it's so like mind-boggling and like amazing, because she just didn't let this random stranger get her down.
Yeah.
Because so many people are like supporting JoJo, as they should. And she was just like, okay. And like, I just need to start utilizing that in my life.
I know. I don't, she is wise beyond her years, for real. I don't know how she handles it. Like, I'll even say in exploring TikTok and building an audience over there too, like, There is such a strong community, but like these Gen Z kids can be real nasty.
Yeah.
Like they can be really, really nasty sometimes. And like, it's really gotten to me a bit where I've had to say, okay, like calm down. This is not defining who you are as a person. Like these are kids, or they're people that are hiding behind like no thumbnail image. And I need to constantly remind myself of that, but it does get hard. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that I think she's like, what, 17?
Yeah, if that, maybe 16.
If that, and is like managing and navigating this social media and like public image so well, is amazing. Mm-hmm. I also don't get the vibe that she's like one of these people that's like, I'm so happy and is going to have that child star breaking point. Like, no. I don't feel like she's trying to be somebody else so desperately. I think she's a positive person and now is living her truth.
Totally.
It's funny that you said that about TikTok because I find it to be like both the most supportive and the most like toxic place on the internet because it's the most supportive. And like, I've never seen so many people who aren't like conventional become famous, but I've also never seen such like the way that people speak to each other. It's like we're back in middle school and it's like legit bullies come out and it makes me sad.
Yeah.
But overall, I think it makes me happy that you are so big into it because I think it's like, when people who are a little older than me are our age and like don't want to go on it, I'm like, no, like you don't understand.
Yeah.
This is not just for kids. Like there's something for everybody on this app.
There is something for everybody on that app. It's so unique in that way. And like just the fact, like all of these little niche TikToks. The other day, I made oatmeal yesterday. There's an oatmeal TikTok. Yeah. Like there's, it's unbelievable. I'm just like, this is so fascinating. And it's very true, right? Like it is honestly, they have cultivated this platform and this like group of creators for any niche possible.
Yeah.
But with that also comes the toxicity, which can be really hard and really tragic. But it's, I feel like as kids start to grow up with social media, the same way that we like tell kids to get out and exercise for 30 minutes a day, there's going to have to be these tools to like implement getting off your phone for an hour a day, like something like that. Because how people manage and navigate that is going to become increasingly difficult.
Definitely.
It's really, really tough.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Especially just because of the fact that kids are like on there, just like you said in the beginning, like you're on your computer all day working, doing all these things, like
And now even they're learning on Zoom too. Yeah.
So
yes.
Not to end on like a sad note, but it makes me sad because I'm like, this is going to be like a really big crisis, but it's good that you're on social media because it's like, if you're going to be on social media all day, you might as well see people who are like, hey, I don't feel great all the time. You know what I mean?
I mean, this is a whole other conversation, but what I've noticed from TikTok is my favorite platform. Like I just love it so much. And there's so many positives to it. Like for example, the way that they're normalizing, like men being able to cry, paint their nails, like, I live for that. I'm like, these men, like, what's the word?
The e-boys?
Like, yeah, I'm saying like young boys celebrate like who they are 100%.
They have more
vulnerability. They celebrate feminine sides. Like, I'm living for it. It doesn't have to mean, it doesn't determine your sexuality, which like I just love about TikTok. But in the same, those same people will be like, I care about mental health and like normalizing this. And then like the same day, they'll like they'll tell someone, I don't even want to say it, but they'll literally comment on someone's TikTok and be like, you should take your own life, which is like so sad. But like and I'm like, how can you do this? I just don't understand. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
And that's the thing. It's like the wild, wild west, right? There's no rules and there's no restrictions or regulations, which can become increasingly difficult. And as we said, you get that beautiful side without those restrictions of creative, talented, wonderful people that may be more unique than the conventional way we think about somebody. Mm-hmm. But then you also get the other side of that coin. And that's what's so hard with social media in general. But as you said, like I really try to come from a place where I make it a positive, safe, empathetic space. Mm-hmm. And I hope that, you know, as audiences grow with me, they continue to, you know, take that care and take that act. And I like that in TikTok, I'm finding an audience that says that back to me and communicates and appreciates that. And, you know, I say, I don't want to be salacious. Like, I know I have so many stories. I know I could be an asshole on the internet and like spill so much juice and like get a big following. Like, doesn't matter to me. That's not the person that I am. And so that's not the person that I want to showcase to the public. And so it's like, while it's hard and it can be frustrating, it's also really nice to just always come back to that and be like, okay, you're doing your thing.
Yeah.
It'll come in due time. And, you know, I feel the people that care and the people that, you know, pop in and hang out are the ones who are meant to be there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Okay, so I think that's a good place for us to ask you, where can people follow you before we end?
Sure. I mean, they can follow me literally everywhere. At Lex Niko, L-E-X-N-I-K-O. I also have my pop culture and current events podcast. It's called One Last Thing. It's on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Check that out too. New episodes every Wednesday. And that's everything. If you see me on the street, say hi.
You're in Canada still right now?
I'm in Canada. Yeah, it's going to take a couple of months for my visa. So I'll go back to LA. They've said tentatively April 1st.
Got it.
Cool.
Yeah.
You are so awesome. And
you are so awesome. All of your
content. Yeah, no, so much.
It's out there.
Yeah.
You got time.
Yeah. Great. Thank you so, so much. This was so fun.
A delight.
Thank you both so much. This was so fun. I'll do this again anytime.
Amazing.
This was so great.
Hey. So that was Lex. We hope you enjoyed. Highly recommend you follow her. She told you all where to follow her, but she's fun. She's like us. That's what we kept saying. Per usual, you can follow the podcast on Instagram at It's Fine I'm Fine Pod and on TikTok at It's Fine I'm Fine Pod. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Fine I'm Fine PD. If you're new, it's because we couldn't fit the O into the username. You can follow me at Liz Height, and that's it. You can follow me on TikTok too. I don't really post that much, but Sarah,
yes, you do.
I do with you. Are you offended because you've been in my last like four TikToks?
Yeah, and I just like also your busted one. What is it? Busted challenge?
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's
like
true.
I want people to like go smoke up your butt
smoke
thing.
Up my butt. Yeah. Okay.
I want people to hype you up. Liz made me dinner tonight. It was so good.
And I talked Sarah down from a downward spiral. Or would you say up?
I was definitely spiraling. I just don't know which direction. It was in all directions.
Yeah.
Up, down, side to side. Got me on name. Ariana. Okay, sorry.
Where can people find you?
Oh my God, guys. Liz just looked at me and goes, where can people find you?
They heard me.
Oh. You can find me at Sarah L. Sisson on all the platforms, all the things.
The platforms.
Okay, this girl literally hates me. Like, we gotta
go. Sorry,
go.
I'm just in a funny mood.
We gotta go. We gotta go. Anyway, it's fine. I'm fine.
No, you. Wait, you didn't say with that.
Oh yeah. Oh wait, and with that, it's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Bye.